This is MSO News Sports. I'm Bill Newell, and we are joined by Nancy Schultz, who is the chair of the Swampscott Historical Commission. And Nancy, welcome. Thanks so much for taking time to join us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Well, Nancy, we want to talk about the Glover House and that project there. But before we begin, tell our listeners a bit about how you got interested and joined the Historical Commission in Swampscott.
Okay, well, I've been a member of the Historical Commission since 2018. I joined, it's a volunteer organization, and I was served as secretary and then vice chair, and then last summer I was elected chairperson of the commission. I've had a long time interest in local history. I'm a retired Salem State University English professor, but I've always done work that crosses over into history in my scholarship. And I do have a strong interest in local history, so this was kind of a natural fit.
All right, so let's get right into the Glover House. There's a story in the Daily Item this past week about some options for the Glover House, which a lot of us just remember it as the Glover House restaurant, knowing there's more to it than that, obviously. But give us the background on that structure, which its fate is still to be determined, I suppose. But I guess set us up, and because I feel it's one of these topics that you really got to sit down and listen and get the whole details on this. So maybe, Philip, begin to fill us in on that Glover House and what's happening with the Historical Commission.
Okay, well, I certainly think that anyone who's lived in Salem, Swampscott, or Marblehead for a long time had celebratory family dinners at the famous General Glover restaurant. It was the place to go for many, many years. That restaurant closed in the 1990s, and the lot has been sitting vacant since. And I think probably for a lot of newcomers to the area, they drive by it, it looks kind of overgrown, and I think there probably are many people who have no idea what the historical significance of that property is. It was originally, there was a part of the property, the main original part of the restaurant, that was constructed probably during the mid-1750s, and it was owned by a family, the William Brown family in Salem. They were an extremely prominent family in Salem, and they owned that property. It was, if you look in the deed books and the tax records, the farm was actually run by a man named Thomas Vining or Vining, and that is where we get the name Vinon Square. But he was not the owner. William Brown was the owner, and his family owned the property for many years. Well, flash forward to the American Revolution, and William Brown is an avowed loyalist. He sides with the crown, and he is subsequently, he was defrocked, he was a magistrate in Salem, and his kind of positions were taken away, and he ends up in 1776 fleeing to England. A few years later, he was listed on the Banishment Act, and then in 1780, his land was confiscated. Now, General John Glover was from Marblehead. He was a merchant, a ship owner, and he was actively involved in the American Revolution. He was originally commissioned as a colonel and was involved in several important battles, including using the Marblehead Regiment to row troops for General George Washington across the Delaware River that was during a blinding snowstorm on Christmas Eve, 1776. So his exploits as a hero are well known for that event. He actually saved George Washington's army three times by employing boats and his Marblehead Regiment was made up of Marblehead sailors, and they were an extremely effective regiment in the Army and in the Continental Army. And his own ships were used as privateers to harass British merchants. And so in some ways, you know, he's thought of as the father of the American Navy, or certainly one of the forerunners of the American Navy. So he was an incredibly important Revolutionary War hero. And when his service ended, he was allowed to purchase this confiscated land that had belonged to William Brown. And he moved to that farm on Vinon Square in 1782. He lived there till his death in 1797. And the property remained in his family for several years after that. But we know that George Washington visited John Glover. He was one of his famous, favorite generals. And, you know, there's, I think, a reasonable possibility that George Washington slept in that very house.
Wow, that's a lot of information. That's fantastic information. So now, I guess let's fast forward again here to today. So of that original house, what is left of that house, and what's the historical commission thinking about the possibilities here?
Well, the main and original house is still standing, and if you drive by and look at that property, you'll be able to pretty easily pick it out. It was the main part of the restaurant. And so there have been several kind of additions that are one story running alongside of it, but the main building consists of a three-story building. The third story is kind of like an attic space, and then there's a what we call an L, E-L-L, that goes in the back, and those both seem to be dating pretty clearly to the mid-1700s. Those are original buildings. And then the restaurant, of course, it had been, before the restaurant, it was a farm called Sunbeam Farm. It was owned by the Little family. There were a lot of things there, like ice cream stores and an inn. And, you know, that was, the Athanas family actually bought the property in 1957. And so that's when it started really being turned into a restaurant with a lot of outbuildings, and a lot of the Athanas operations for their local restaurants. They had one in Lynn, and they had, of course, Hawthorne by the Sea, and then the General Glover, plus other restaurants. So a lot of their business operations were out of that site, and so there are now many adjoining buildings that can be seen. But the main house is pretty easy to spot.
Well, Nancy, I've got to ask you, can we attribute the to General Glover the popover, or is that the Athanas family?
Well, we have to credit the Athanas family with popovers. However, there are so many ovens that are extant in the building. There are fireplaces with beehive ovens, and we do think that there was a lot of baking going on in the original Glover House. He might have been baking biscuits for his ships, or just entertaining a lot, but it does seem like it was set up to do quite a bit of cooking.
Well, you got George Washington into this. I'll bring the popovers into it, and then we've got a story here, yeah. So, I understand from the news article that then what will happen here with this structure? I mean, obviously you want to protect it, and how... Where does that stand right now?
Well, you know, the property was left pretty much to deteriorate for over 25 years.
Yeah.
The property just sat. And I think, you know, people thought of it as a blighted property. In fact, in 2020, the town of Swampscott imposed a fine, a daily fine, on the property, and I don't think it was ever collected, but it was they were trying to eliminate blighted properties around the town, and that was certainly seen as one. And then, you know, in February 2021, the select board asked if the property should be condemned. There's been a lot of concern about it just sitting neglected and becoming overgrown. And so in 2022, the town of Swampscott Town Meeting approved a zoning overlay, which would allow residential units to be built there. And that is when the developer, Leggett McCall, came forward with a proposal. And so currently we have, it's been through the permitting process, I believe, in Marblehead, and it's been through the planning board process here in town. So the final step is whenever a building is 75 years or older, the Historical Commission reviews the demolition plans to determine if the building is historically significant. And so we did have a meeting March 2nd, and we reviewed the plans, and naturally, knowing what we've learned about General Glover, it is clear that it is a historically significant building. And just its age, you know, especially in Swampscott, many of the historic buildings have been torn down in our town. I mean, Marblehead and Salem do much better with preservation efforts, I would say. So we don't even have that many buildings that are of that age. And so clearly, in our initial determination, we found the building to be historically significant. That started a process by which we hold a public hearing, which we did on Wednesday. And it's advertised in the newspapers. People can come. The commission wants to hear people's thoughts on the significance of the property. And we do have a meeting scheduled on April 20th where we make our final determination. And basically, we have some options, really including a 9-month demolition delay. Or we could not put the delay on. I mean, we have been working closely with the developer. We've been in the conversations from the beginning, and they have been very supportive of, you know, making a park. That site is very interesting because it's the spot where Salem, Marblehead, and Swampscott meet. And on that corner, there's a planned park, which will have a commemorative plaque for General Glover and some other information about the site, and will incorporate some of the architectural features from the site into the park. So that's, you know, a very nice plan. The Historical Commission, you know, wanted to be sure. We were under the impression, and I think everyone was under the impression, that the building was just in terrible condition and was falling apart. But we wanted to know for sure, so we decided to get a second opinion, and we hired our own preservation architects and structural engineers, and we did a site visit on March 30th. And we have a report that really does indicate, of course, the building is like any building that's been left. There are certainly areas of weakness and structural concerns, but the engineers felt that the original part of the building was still salvageable. So I guess our options, you know, at this point we'd have to have further study, but one option would be to try to move the building completely, as a whole, to another spot and try to repair it. The building could be taken apart in pieces and pieces of the building stored, and then it could be reconstructed at another spot. And, you know, at the meeting, a lot of people were saying, why can't the development just work around it and leave it where it is? But the developers have been, when they were approached on that point, they're not very interested in that option.
Yeah, so that's that's it. So that is to be determined. So your next meeting is the is April 20th, and that's when it all when the decision, at least your end of the decision, would be made. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, yeah. We will deliberate that night, having heard people's opinions at the public meeting, and we'll make our final determination.
Hmm. And you're right; it is a unique area. It's funny. Being in the area for a long time, I always thought the Glover House was Marblehead. You know what I'm saying? But and Hawthorne by the Sea was a Swampscott property, and we knew Salem was right nearby. But that property's in both towns, Marblehead and Swampscott, as you pointed out earlier.
It's in three towns.
Oh, it is in Salem too. Okay,
yes. Yeah. And there is a Glover House in Marblehead.
Yep.
His original house. It's a private home.
Well, I meant the restaurant is, yeah.
Okay,
yeah, exactly, yeah. No, you're right, and that generally associate Glover with the Marblehead for sure, General Glover, but so on, yeah. All right, so is there anything else to share with us about that particular project? You've given us a lot of great information here, but anything else you want to mention before I move on to one other thing maybe?
Sure, we're very excited to be working with the General Glover Regiment in Marblehead. They turned out in full regalia. They're period reenactors. They turned out in full regalia for our meeting on Wednesday, and they're very enthusiastically supporting the idea of preserving the building. And we've been in touch with the Marblehead Historical Commission as well as the Salem Historical Commission. And I guess what I would say is it's really in the hands of the three communities to band together and find a creative way to preserve this building. Here we are on the eve of the 250th anniversary of the start of the American Revolution. And I would think there would be huge interest and support, I hope there will be, to help all of us find a way to save this important historical house.
Let me ask you this, Nancy. Are you guys at all involved with the Hawthorne by the Sea project? The town bought that restaurant, the property. Is that a historic property or not? I mean, I'm not sure.
It wouldn't fall into the category of being 75 years or older, so that is not really falling under our purview.
Gotcha. All right. Well, tell us about a few other projects that you are working on that are coming before the Historical Commission in Swampscott?
Well, one project that is on a much smaller scale and local, I mean, the Glover property is of national historical significance. But we have a house in Swampscott, the Samuel Clune Pittman House, which is also scheduled for demolition to make way for the residences on Essex Street. There's an apartment complex going up over there across from the high school. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
No, I'm not familiar with the I know where that area is. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, again, the process was triggered, you know, when this demolition delay came before the Historical Commission. And there were a few houses that were 75 years or older, but one of them, it's 35 Pittman Street, Pittman Road, had been owned by Samuel Clune Pittman. And again, when we did research into this, we found out that the house does predate 1800. We don't have many houses in Swampscott of that age. And so it is a pre-1800 house. It's got some original features. It's very hard to tell from looking at it because it's kind of got siding and other things that would kind of mask its historical significance. But that was once a house and a farm owned by Samuel Clune Pittman, who was very instrumental in 1852 in the separation of Swampscott from Lynn. He was a town moderator. He was one of the first selectmen of the town. And some research that we did into his farming practices, he was written up and extolled in the New England Horticultural Magazine because he grew prize-winning pears.
Wow, you never know what you're going to come up with. Yeah, man.
So our current project that's in addition to the Glover is we had the idea of trying to move this house, and we have a partnership. We've been working with Habitat for Humanity, and what we would like to do is move the original part of the Pittman house to a property that we are trying to acquire, and we would work with Habitat for Humanity, who would work on the interior and make it into affordable housing, which Swampscott really is in need of developing much more affordable housing. And so this idea of combining preservation with solving another local issue like affordable housing, it would be built into several units that would be sold below market rates to families, and we would try to preserve at least the front of it to look, return it to its original 18th century look, and we would have an interpretive plaque educating people about Samuel Clune Pittman and his local significance, and some families would be able to live there and enjoy a very lovely home.
Well, that's another great project. Yeah, I've got a question. You mentioned earlier when we were talking that Swampscott has not been able to preserve some of their older properties, and you would think that there would be, you know, would have been structures back in the 1700s in Swampscott, or what is now Swampscott. And so have you uncovered any significant properties, say, in the last, you know, 50 years that were demolished that were significant structures, you know, going back into the early 1800s, 1700s?
Well, I can use White Court as an example. That was the summer home of Calvin Coolidge, and it was the former Marion Court.
Oh, yeah.
College, and that was demolished despite a lot of efforts to try to save it. It was not saved. It was demolished, and I think, you know, people have many regrets about that.
So, but that was the structure that would have been demolished before Marion Court College. Is that what you're saying?
Well, it was Marion Court College had bought that property. It was called White Court.
Yep.
And that was the summer White House of Calvin Coolidge.
No, I've been in that building. So that building that would have been, probably 15 years ago I was in it, but that would have been the original building you're talking about.
That was the original building.
Oh, yeah, that was a beautiful building, yeah.
So, you know, that was, I think, a moment where people realized afterwards that, you know, we wish we could have done some things differently. And I think the town learned from that experience. So I'm hoping that now there will be a lot of enthusiasm to try to save this building.
Exactly. All right. Well, Nancy, is there anything else that you want to share with us? Anything come to mind that we didn't discuss about the Glover House or any other projects or whatever that are, again, coming before the commission?
Okay. Well, I would just encourage people. We have a very interesting exhibition up right now at the Elihu Thompson Administration Building, the town administration building. It's on the era of the great Swampscott hotels. Swampscott used to be, at the turn of the 20th century, a very huge resort destination. It had many, many fine hotels, and people would come for miles around and spend the summer. The last of the hotels in town came down in 2012. That was Cap'n Jack's. And the New Ocean House fire, of course, was 1969, and that huge hotel burned to the ground. And so there was this whole history in Swampscott of it being a great summer resort, and the population would swell. Every summer people would come from New York and Boston and stay the entire summer. So we have that exhibition ongoing at Town Hall right now, and it's it's free. Anybody can go take a look during regular town hall hours, and we would really encourage you to see some of this history. And our next exhibition that we're going to be putting up in the summer will be on the fishing industry in Swampscott.
Perfect. Great stuff. Well, Nancy, thank you so much for your time and all of this information, and best of luck with everything. But again, thanks so much for sharing all of this information with us. We really appreciate it.
Oh, it was great to talk with you, Bill.
All right, there she is, Nancy Schultz, the chair from the Swampscott Historical Commission here on MSONewsSports.com.